Thank you very much. I think to agree to speak after a Weinberger, one has to either be foolhardy, arrogant, or both. I'll leave the call to you. There's something seemingly very anomalous about davening. We were listening to the very beautiful, compelling, and powerful words, the neshama expressing itself. And yet, when we look at our daily tefillah, clearly, it's literally the centerpiece. Quantitatively, it dominates the tefillah as well. Bakasha. We count HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribbono Shel Olam. Here's my list. There's at least 13 major categories on the list. We have license to embellish and to add to that. And Ribbono Shel Olam. So, with a please, there's not always a please in there. Ribbono Shel Olam, I'd like this. First of all, give me the smarts. Then, let's, help me do tshuva. Forgive me for all my sins. Extricate me from all difficulties, all problems. Seems to be very self-serving. Yet Chazal tell us it's dvarim ha'omdim b'ruma shel olam. So for tzaddikim, there's an answer that tefillah is tzorach gavoha. That the words don't really mean what we think they mean, what they seem to mean on their most exoteric level. But I'm not sure how many of us can relate to tefillah on that level. So let's perhaps try to relate to tefillah on a more prosaic level. Why is it Dvarim Ha'omdim B'ruma Shel Olam when seemingly we're coming over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he should gratify all our needs. Like a child going to FAO Schwartz, and mommy, daddy, I want this, and I want this, and I want this, and I want this. So why, in the mashal, so why doesn't the child, why is he asking mommy and daddy to buy all the toys? He should go and help himself, and he'll go over to the... He'll go over to the cashier, but he realizes that he can't do that because that magic plastic card, which his parents have, he doesn't have one of those. So he's not going to be able to go over to the checkout. He's not going to be able to go over to the cashier. The real point of tefillah is not seeking the gratification. It's not seeking that HaKadosh Baruch Hu give us what we need, but is rather the acknowledgement and the awareness of absolute dependence upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Mishnah says that Ein Omdim L'Spala Ela Mitoch Kovod Rosh. Rashi, literally Kovod Rosh means a person, again, the antithesis of Kalos Rosh, of a lightheadedness, but Rashi translates Hachna'a, submissively. A person comes to Davin with submission. A person who's proud, a person who feels self-sufficient, by definition, can't daven. Because the essence of davening is not so much the chaneinu me'itcha, day of bina v'haske, or chochma bina v'das, but the essence of davening is the awareness, the acknowledgement of ato chonen la'odam das, umalamid la'enosh bina. The essence of davening is the awareness that as literally as these words can possibly be construed, that we're nothing without HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Literally, nothing without HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what underlies, that's why asking is so significant, because it reflects this awareness of absolute dependence upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As long as I feel life is good, Baruch Hashem, I'm able to take care of myself, I have a parnasa, and my health is good, and okay, at this point you'll realize this is somewhat fictional, and I go to the gym every day, and I'm in good shape, and as long as I have that feeling, I can't begin to hope to daven. The Rav Zichrono Livracha was fond of saying, there is, as you're aware, a very fundamental dispute between the Rambam and the Ramban, whether or not the obligation to daven is midaraisa, whether or not the Torah mandates that one daven at least daily, or whether the entire obligation of davening is of rabbinic origin. There are many, many sources which seem to support the view of the Rambam that it in fact is daraisa, that the Torah mandates. So the Ramban suggests, well, maybe I'll make a concession. And maybe davening daily is not mandated midaraisa, but if it's an eis tzara, if a person finds himself, herself, in a moment of crisis, then that's what the Torah was talking about when the Torah says that we have to daven, but not daily. So the Rav Zichron Livracha was fond of saying, he wrote it as well, that he thinks that with that little concession, the Ramban gave away the store. And that the Rambam's answer to that is that a person is perennially in an eis tzara. Our dependence upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu for health, for ourselves, for our loved ones, for everyone, is no different on a daily basis when we feel strong and healthy than Rachmana Litzlan when one hears some kind of possibility of an awful diagnosis. The need and the dependence and the reliance is the same. It's an existential eis tzara. But as long as we're unaware of the need, there's nothing to ask for. To be impassioned in making a plea, so I have to feel passionately that I have a need. But if life is good and I can take care of myself and I have a mitzvah to daven, there's only so much I can artificially muster. And I think we all know that from experience. And halavai, those who don't should never know it from experience. But Rachmana Litzlan, think back if a person has ever been in such a situation where one hears of some kind of terrible diagnosis for a loved one, so then Taka were able to daven. So it's not true that we've lost the ability and capacity to daven, because we do at times. And come Ne'ilah on Yom Kippur, when a little bit, we feel the reality that Chazal tried to impress upon us, Sifrei Chayim, Sifrei Mesim, Suchim Lefonav, so then we're taka able to daven. So we haven't lost the art of tefillah entirely. What we've lost is the awareness of our need for tefillah. Weinberger mentioned the Rabbeinu Yonah in the beginning of Brachos, who says that the very act of tefillah is an expression of betochen. That's how the Rabbeinu Yonah explains the structure of our shachris, of our arvis, of smichas geula letefillah, that after we catalog all the chastei Hashem in taking us out of Mitzrayim, so then what? So then go to the office and again, with kochi va'otzim yadi, with my resourcefulness and my smarts, I'm going to make a living? No. If we realize that in history it's the hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then in the present it's also the hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But to have bitachon in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it means, now in a different sense than Reb Tzadok was talking about, it means that one can't have bitachon in anything or anyone else. If I feel secure because of all my IRAs, and I feel secure because of all the savings which Baruch Hashem I've been able to amass in federally insured accounts, if that gives me a sense of security looking towards golden years, so whenever there's bitachon in anything else, we don't use the word bitachon, so we don't realize it. But whenever there's a sense of security which comes from any source which we attribute, which we erroneously attribute or ascribe to any source other than to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so that detracts from the bitachon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I feel good, I feel secure. My Al Tashlichenu Leizikna is not going to be so impassioned. I don't feel the need. Ramban writes at the end of Parshas Bo, Kavanas HaYetzira, from our vantage point, from our perspective, what do we think Hashem wants out of this entire cosmos? World seen and unseen, lower and higher. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want from it? She'en lanu tam acher v'yitzir harishona v'en kel elyon chofetz v'tachtonim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is at one, in politics there are one issue parties. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a one issue agenda for us. One issue agenda for our sake, one issue agenda. Sheyeda ha'odam v'yode le'lokov shebiro. That a person should know and a person should acknowledge and thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created him or her. Thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the ultimate gift, the gift of life. V'kavonas romumus hakol v'tfilos the kavanas bate aknesios zchus tfilas harabim zehu sheyia livnei adam makom yiskabtsu v'yodu lakel shebira'am v'himtziyam. The reason we need to have shulin, the reason we need to have bate aknesios, the reason we need to daven b'tzibur, is that there should be a place where people can gather, thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu that He created us, publicize it, and affirm to HaKadosh Baruch Hu where we are your handiwork. B'riyasecha anachnu, we're your creatures. Professionally, if you're about to make a contact, there's a very big contract which is hanging in the balance. You're representing your company at this meeting, and it's a mega, mega deal. So before you go to the meeting, the boss is going to impress upon you just how important what you're doing is. You know, you really need to put your best foot forward. You really need to think, prepare, because what you're doing couldn't be more important. If the person isn't given this background to the context and the content of the meeting. So he'll go and maybe be kind of casual. And he may present himself well, maybe not so well. But if he knows what hangs in the balance, so then he's really going to be motivated, really going to be motivated to exert himself. He's going to make the necessary preparations, and b'shas ma'isa, he's going to exert himself. Says the Ramban, when we go to shul, again, we do it, Baruch Hashem, all the time, 2-3 times a day. Says the Ramban, when we go to shul and we're davening, so we're achieving the kavana, the goal, the telos of the entire Bria. It's a meeting worth exerting ourselves for. It's a meeting worth preparing ourselves for. Rav Pinkus, in his monograph, Sha'arim B'Tfila, has a very, very important observation. He says that if we'll look in the Rambam to see where the Rambam discusses the role and the halachos of preparing for davening, so the Rambam discusses it in the context of Perek Dalid, where he lists 5 things which are absolutely indispensable for davening, which if a person cannot satisfy any of these 5, he should not daven. A person has to be clothed appropriately, the surroundings in which a person finds himself have to be appropriate, and these are non-negotiable. There are other things that are negotiable in Perek Hei of Hilchos Tefillah. The Perek Dalet of Hilchos Tefillah are non-negotiables. One of the non-negotiables is having kavana, is being focused, concentrating, and in that context, the Rambam says, again, Ashrei Yoshve Vesecha Od Yalalucha Sela. First, a person comes, sits quietly, prepares himself for davening, then he can daven. But here the hachana is not something which can help enhance the mitzvah. It's not something which can help upgrade. It's not something which can make it extra special, extra meaningful. It's something which is absolutely indispensable. And it should be. No one would go to that meeting in which this mega contract hangs in the balance and just dash in without having a chance to collect one's thoughts and what am I going to say? What am I going to talk about? How am I going to make the presentation? No, there's going to be tremendous thought that goes into it beforehand. Without the hachana, it's almost guaranteed to be a losing battle. Almost guaranteed to be a losing battle. He goes on to explain by juxtaposing 2 Rashis in Maseches Brachos that the way Hachana facilitates and is indispensable in that respect is not only in terms of sort of clearing our minds of distractions, of course it does that as well, but through the hachana, again, the hachana, as we say Psukei Dezimra, even as we're saying Shema U'Birchoseha, that's a way of inducing the Shechina. If a person is able to be Mekarev HaKadosh Baruch Hu Eilav, as Rashi says, so then, if the Shechina is right in front of me, if the presence is so imminent and so vivid and so immediate, so then it's easy to maintain a dialogue. It's when we don't feel anything, that's when it's such an almost impossible challenge. But through the Hachana, through the Psukei Dezimra, so Rashi says, he's Mekarev HaKadosh Baruch Hu Eilav. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is if I can have some sense that he's right there, I have no difficulty focusing on people this morning and addressing them. I see them. So we're not going to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not in the same sense, not in a physical sense. But if there can be some feeling, so then tefillah becomes something doable. And without that hachon, it can't happen. And just finally, we said that in making the presentation, a person will prepare himself, but a person will also exert himself b'shas maisa. To concentrate is a physical exertion as well. I think that the story is told of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, that people noticed that in his older years, it took him longer to daven than it used to when he was younger. So one of those who was close enough to be able to make the inquiry asked him why it is that he davens long enough. So Shlomo Zalman said, I'm older, I'm much weaker, because I have to stop and rest in the middle. I can't daven consecutively. I no longer have the physical stamina for that. The Chazon Ish descriptions are not as an old man. I'd like to think not as an old man. I think he was around my age when this story was told. So, as a young man, the Chazon Ish sometimes would be sitting for davening, because he didn't have the koyches to stand. Meaning, there's a physical exertion. Try it. There's a physical exertion in trying to focus on something to the exclusion of all else. All distracting thoughts, everything that's swirling around us, it's a tremendous physical exertion. We have to be willing to make that also. A person, sometimes we think that tefillah is just sort of, one can coast into and coast through tefillah. No, it's a tremendous, tremendous physical exertion. Halavai, going back to the first drasha, skipping this one. So Baruch Hashem, we heard Noah Doresh, and halavai, we should all be zochet in Yivar Mekayim as well.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's a great honor that we have our program today in terms of tefillah. A few years ago, we began this program at the Orthodox Union. It's now a national initiative, as you can see. We are honored in having Rabbi Moshe Weinberger with us, Rabbi Meir Twersky, and Rabbi Mansour. And we are thrilled in having you join us. Everyone should have received a packet at their table. We have close to 400 people here, I'm told. We didn't prepare 400. And Baruch Hashem, we are pleased to send these to you. And we ask that you please take them home and read them carefully. Many hours were spent in putting together the one with the colorful booklet. It has quite a number of excellent practical articles that you will easily be able to relate to, as well as having commentary from the Chazal for your edification. Last summer, I was in Deerfield Beach, Florida, with Rabbi Pesach Kron, and he spoke to over 500 people. And when Rabbi Kron spoke on tefillah, it was clear from watching everyone daven mincha afterwards that it was, we have a tale of two generations. The older generation was standing, davening Shmona Esrei, standing still and quietly, not shuckling, not moving, but the way they were taught when they went to yeshiva. When I went to yeshiva also, we were taught the same way. We were taught how to daven, but we had no clue as to what we said. And unfortunately, in speaking to so many rabbonim and people around the country, that still seems to be the case. That as kids we're taught how to daven, how to shuckle, how to do it with tremendous kavanah, but that we don't really comprehend exactly what we're saying. We have to change that. Ladies and gentlemen, the Orthodox Union's national initiative is calling upon schools to really get into the Biur HaTefillah, to understand what you're saying. If we understand what we're saying, perhaps a lot of the noise and the sound will become the sound of silence and the sound of tefillah. We can't communicate really with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a very more meaningful and personal way if we don't know what we're saying. Take the opportunity to look at a siddur. Take the opportunity when you leave here to go and delve into what the siddur says and the conversation that you are having with Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is going to be more meaningful and more personal to you. On behalf of the Orthodox Union, we're proud to have Yeshiva University join us. The Orthodox Union not only has a national initiative in Rabbi Epstein, who gave a Dvar Torah this morning, we included 8 of the tefillah tips. We have 11 weeks of Musaf of Shabbos. These are not all encompassing, but these are tidbits of information in one page that everybody could comprehend, and we hope this is a motivation for further learning. After the 11 weeks conclude, thanks to Rabbi Epstein, we're going to have a hafsaka, as you have in every school. And we're going to resume in January with the Friday night explanations in one-page tips. And you can find the video, which supplements the written word, on www.oucommunity.org, which is written on the bottom of the sheet. It's not just tefillah. It's not just kashrus. Kashrus, I want you to know, every penny that is brought in through kashrus and through fundraising, kashrus can't do it all, goes back into the community, goes back into programs like the one you're hearing today. We had a professional eating disorders conference for professionals in June. We just had Steiner Adair from Harvard University Medical School, who just spoke to professionals from the yeshivas and day schools, a professional development conference on eating disorders, and in the frum community, where the pasha shidduchim, everybody has to be a size 0 or a size 2. Look around the shul, how many size 2s and 0s do you see? It's unrealistic expectations. We're going to be having an eating disorders conference in Baltimore January 31st. We're going to be having an eating disorders conference for parents in Brooklyn as well in January and February. Check our website for the information. In addition to that, thanks to Steve Savitsky, our president, we've had an emerging communities conference for the past number of years. Yiddishkeit is not just in main cities, it's throughout the country, thanks to the efforts of the Orthodox Union. Smaller communities have not been ignored. People have built communities by going out and leaving the big cities. And it's made a dramatic effect. Parenting, marriage, the Orthodox Union just completed a survey on marriage. It took 2 months. We had over 1,000 pages of material, and those materials have been translated, and we did a videotaping at the Orthodox Union, and that is going to be released within the next 2 weeks on the state of marriage in the Orthodox Frum community. And to do a commercial, we've had many marriage retreats, and many people from the 5 towns have attended. July 9th and 11th, Yirtzeh Hashem, we will be having a marriage retreat. Watch your emails, watch your mail for it. And those of you that did not receive the booklet. Please make sure you sign in. Indicate to Dahlia, who's been very helpful in putting the program together, as well as Avi Zimmerman, that you would like to receive the booklet because you didn't receive it today. Singles Program, Scholars in Residence, Nach Yomi, Executive Directors. Our new Executive Director, Rabbi Weil, has formulated a program to move ahead into the future. And Rabbi Zvi Hirsch Weinreb is our Executive Vice President Emeritus and continues to go throughout the country tirelessly with ceaseless efforts on behalf of Torah. On OU Radio, you will find so many of his comments on tefillah. Ladies and gentlemen, it is a pleasure really seeing so many people here today. Let's learn what we're saying. Let's understand what we're saying so that we can communicate in a way with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that will be more meaningful and more powerful for our tefillos to be answered. Wish everyone a happy Hanukkah.
Thank you very much. My name is Steve Savitsky. I have the great chus, honor, and bracha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be the president of an incredible organization called the Orthodox Union. I'd like to thank Frank for taking my entire speech. I appreciate that very much. We're here gathered this morning, and I think we've been inspired. Our last speaker is a person of great inspiration, great passion, Rabbi Eli Mansour, who's a Rav in Brooklyn of the congregation Beit Yaakov. I've heard him many times on the tape. I'm sure many of you have also. It's a privilege and honor for us at the Orthodox Union to introduce Rabbi Mansour.
Good morning, Rabotai, Mr. President, all the board of directors,
Orthodox Union, Yeshiva University, all the sponsors. It's quite